Well, there's a story we actually read here three years ago, and I think Troy read, I'm pretty sure he did, that I think really wraps up what we've been talking about all month long here. So I thought it was worth reading again and then discussing a little bit. And here it goes. Imagine there was a king that loved a humble maiden. She had no royal pedigree, no education, no standing in the court. She dressed in rags. She lived in a hut. She led the ragged life of a peasant. Right? But for reasons no one could ever quite figure out, the king was utterly in love with this girl. Why he should love her is beyond explaining or understanding, but love her he did. And he could not stop loving her. But there awoke in the heart of the king an anxious question. How should he reveal his love to the girl? How could he bridge the divide of station and position that separated them? His advisors, of course, would tell him to simply command her to be his queen. For he was a man of immense power. She would have no ability to resist. But power, even unlimited power, cannot command love. Yes, he could force her to be present in his palace, but he could not force love to be present in her heart. Yes, he could command her to be obedient, but coerced submission is not what he wanted. He longed for intimacy of heart and oneness of spirit. All the power in the world cannot unlock the door to the human heart. It must be opened from within. Some of the king's advisors suggested that he give up on this love, give his heart to someone more worthy. But this the king will not do. He cannot do. And so his love is also his suffering. What a depth of grief lies in this unfathomable love, a divine love which cannot rest. The king could try to bridge the chasm between them by elevating her to his position. He could shower her with gifts, dress her in purple and silk. But if he brought her to his palace, if he radiated his magnificence over her, if she saw all the wealth and power of his greatness, she would be overwhelmed. How would he then know if she loved him for himself or for all that he gave her? And how could she know that he loved her for herself and would love her still, even if she was just a humble peasant girl? Every other alternative came to nothing. There was only one way. So one day, the king rose and left his throne. He removed his crown. He relinquished his scepter. He laid aside his royal robes, and he took upon himself the life of a peasant. He dressed in rags, scratched out a living in the dirt, groveled for food, lived in the streets. He did not just take on the outward appearance of a servant, it became his actual life, his nature, his burden. The king's love for the peasant girl brought him to her world, so she could meet him where she was, see him for who he truly was, see his true nature, his very heart, and love him for of her own free will. The king became as ragged as the one he loved so that she could be united to him forever. It was the only way. And thus ends the modern story, the modern parable of the king and his unfathomable love. Okay, so if you were the king in that story, is that what you would do? Yeah, be honest about that. You would want the girl, right? You would want the girl. But would you willingly humble yourself to that extent? If you were the king, would you sacrifice to that extent to win her love? If you were the king. Yeah. Now consider this. If you were God in heaven, if you were God in heaven, would you do it? Leave the perfect splendor of heaven. Not just to go down to the lowly manger, you know, with the cattle and all that stuff. Not just that. No. To go from the lowly manger all the way to the cruelty of the cross. Right? That was a package deal. The manger and the cross were a package deal. And God could see the whole thing. He knew it. Would you do that? And think of this too. And this is where the metaphor with that parable that we heard about the king doesn't quite match up. God didn't do this for some romantic love, you know? He didn't have a crush on some cute peasant girl. This was not a romantic love, for being honest. We can do all kinds of crazy things, right, for romantic love. No, God left the comfort of heaven and chose the manger and the cross out of a different kind of love, right? We call it agape love. Agape love. It should remind us of our readings today that we heard from Grace. The one especially from our own St. Paul, he calls it a love that surpasses knowledge. It's beyond our comprehension. It's an unfathomable love. And then you think about it, was that really a good choice? When you think about us and people, was it a good choice? Did it matter? Was there a lasting impact from that first Christmas? Well, all of human history was changed that day, that first Christmas. Even our timeline and our calendar was changed. But more importantly, society was turned upside down. The poor were served. Widows were cared for. Elderly were esteemed. Newborns became saved and valued. Outcasts were taken in. The sick were healed. Hospitals were built for the first time. Universities were established. Churches were planted all over the world. And sins were forgiven. This is all new, revolutionary stuff. And yes, unfortunately, you know, crusades were waged, wars were fought in the name of religion, and human beings were burned alive at the stake. That stuff happened too. People, human beings can lose sight of who's in charge, who's really the head of the church, can't they? Yep. The head of the church is a man named Jesus, no one else. And by following Jesus through love and service to others, those types of mistakes can be avoided. And progress can be made. We can change. We can change for the better. And that's our goal. That's what we talk about. That's what we try to do. We try to change for the better, each one of us. To humble ourselves and try to struggle, but we try to follow the teachings and the example of a man named Jesus. That's what we try to do. And think about it. Think about it right now. That doesn't require money, degrees, good looks, or any kind of status. No, it just requires a humble heart and a good heart. It requires humility. And something we've talked about a lot here, we talk about a lot, heavenly wisdom. Is that what we want? I think so, right? I know we do. I hope so. Because that's when ordinary human beings like us are truly able to reflect the love of Jesus back out into the world. And that's what we want to do. Love. Agape love. The true nature of Jesus and the true nature of God. And the promise of the Bible is that the true nature of God would come to us and be shown to us. The promise of the Bible is that the true nature of God would redeem us, each of us, all of us, every one of us, and be our eternal salvation. And the promise of the Bible was kept when the Word became flesh and the King, Jesus Christ, came to live among us.